I spent a bit of time in Lubbock, Texas, as many of you know. The thriving metropolis of Lubbock, Texas, it's a little bit better than Odessa, Texas. I drive a 2005 Dodge Magnum V6. Don't ask if it's a Hemi. I'm older. I wanted economy, so I got a V6. And I love that car. Nobody in my family likes it. I love my car. Okay? I don't know, but I have fun with it. And I remember when I passed 100,000 miles and I thought, man, this is great. I stopped, took a little picture of the odometer, 100,000 miles. I thought that was a great milestone. And I guess in some vehicles it is, from what I hear. As I drove back and forth to Lubbock this last summer, I thought, how great. On my final trip home, 200,000 miles, I pulled over, took a picture, $199,999. Drove a mile down the road, 200,000. Took another picture, thought it was great. Drove another mile, 200,000, 1 mile. Don't ask why I take the pictures, I don't know, but I thought it was great. I thought it was a milestone. 200,000 miles on my car. I love it. Still going strong. I've never once replaced the battery in it. Never had to jump it. That car started every time. Okay, I had a small issue with the transmission that I had to replace a little teeny tiny part this big made out of plastic that would not let me shift it, but my son and I fixed that, and that was great. So it moves on. Today, 207,000 miles on it. 7,000 miles just since I came back. So 207,000 miles, still going strong. Still going strong. Do I change the oil? Every 3,000 miles, I change that oil. One time it got to almost 5,000 and I was just going and going and didn't have time to stop and do it. And I go to one place down here in Choctaw on 23rd Street, Harrington's. They changed my oil. And it got to almost 5,000 miles. I thought, oh no, will it blow apart? It didn't. I got it changed. But my point is, every 3,000 miles, I have regular maintenance on this thing. I love my 2005 Dodge Magnum. My oldest brother moved in town. He's looking for a vehicle. He said, 200,000 miles, man, it's time to sell this and buy a new car. Why don't you sell it cheap to me? Not happening. I'm driving this thing till the wheels fall off it. And he said, if you sell it to me, I guarantee the wheels will fall off this thing. So I didn't do it. Adam, what's your point about your 2005 Dodge Magnum with 207,000 miles on it, V6 economy? My point is that it's still running, still going strong because of regular maintenance. Regular maintenance, intentional maintenance, and that's what we're talking about these last couple weeks. Intentional living. We talked a couple weeks ago about the call, answering the call, following Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about the commandment, loving as Jesus loved us. And today, intentional living, discipleship. What does discipleship have to do with a car? It has to do with regular maintenance. Discipleship is intentional maintenance in our spiritual lives. Amen? All right. It too does not happen accidentally. My car isn't still running by accident. I see new cars with about 50,000 miles smoking out the tailpipe. I thought, man, what were they racing in that thing? Our spiritual journey is more. And when we take our young people to Falls Creek, hang on just a minute. I can't read with these on up close, and I can't see without these. Our young people out here, some of the old people said, I think he's waving at me. Our young people, when we go to Falls Creek, we try and invest time in them and make sure they know. If you accept Jesus Christ, no matter where, but especially at Falls Creek, it's more than a one-time event. This thing of accepting Jesus Christ isn't just, I'm doing this. You have to make a choice. And that choice afterwards, do I want to grow or not grow? I love our Ground Zero leaders, Spencer, Andrew, and Chelsea said, where are those decision cards from Falls Creek? We want to follow up on our young people and see where they are in their journey. Amen? Unfortunately, I could not provide those cards to them. I don't know where I put them, but I've got almost everything else. I've got Acquire the Fire cards going back 7 and 8 years. Asking questions about our young people that I see sitting out here leading praise and worship. I see them out here, married couples. I see them out there in college. 2 weeks ago at the end of my message, very end, right before we prayed, I said, you're as close to God as you want to be. Do you remember that? You're as close to God as you want to be, but more appropriately, and I don't know how I said it, but it's, you're as close to God as you choose to be. We have to make a choice. Discipleship is a choice, and it's intentional, but it's regular maintenance in our life. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy. That's where we'll be reading out of today. And it'll be just a minute before I get there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And as you flip through your Bible, it's right after 1 Timothy. If you're not feeling close to God, guess who moved? God didn't move. He's still there standing there. If you are near God and all of a sudden you're not feeling close to Him, I guarantee He's not the one that moved. George Barna does tons of studies on Christians and Christian study and discipleship, just all kinds of aspects of the Christian faith. And he did a study on born-again Christians. And he found that they were barely distinguishable from non-Christians. It's a sad state of affairs for Christians, isn't it? When they can't tell us apart from somebody else. Today's scripture reading, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another. Indeed, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all these unto the Lord Jesus. Make us distinguishable. Choose to be distinguishable. Choose to be intentional and choose to be a disciple. We've all seen or been one of these before, or we've shown these aspects in our life and our Christian faith. Low commitment, low expectation, low tolerance, low giving, low concern, low connectivity, low in relationships with one another. But God says, man, it's time. It's time. If you want me to rain down in your life, it is time for that commitment. It's time for lifelong, life-changing process in your life to think and act. And love, as we talked about last week, is Jesus. And we do that through an inward look. You know, a lot of times we say, we have to be looking outward. Absolutely. But we can't do that until we look inward, inside of ourselves, and say, what is it in me that I like or don't like? But more importantly, what is it in me that either reflects or does not reflect Jesus Christ? What reflects Jesus Christ? Let's draw near to that. Let's embrace that. Let's grow those areas. What doesn't reflect Jesus Christ? Let's eliminate those. Let's find a way to counter those in our life. When dealing with people with anger issues, there's always a struggle. What triggers that anger? What triggers them just losing their mind over it? And I remember watching a TV show, and I've mentioned it before, where a lady said, every time you get upset, I want you to pull that card out of your back pocket. And when you do that, think about another way to deal with that. And we have to have those same type of flashcards, if you will, in our spiritual life. When I say this, when words come out of my mouth that don't excite Jesus, we have to find other words to use. Why am I using this word? When I do this action, why am I doing this? I know it's wrong. When we act this way around a group of friends and not that way around another group, why? Why do we pick and choose? Why is our character not established and consistent? We had a work Christmas party a couple weeks ago, and they had a hypnotist there. Yeah, I'm game. Let's do it. So I'm up there with about a dozen other folks from work, about 200 people sitting out there in the audience watching us. And one of the things he said I thought was very interesting watching the videotape later. Well, the embarrassing part is he said, the phone's ringing, it's an important phone call, and it's for you. And that phone is on the person's foot next to you. It's their shoe. So the embarrassing part was watching me scramble for this guy's shoe and talking on this phone, getting my very important phone call and keeping people away. But then he said, now you are getting an obscene phone call. And I thought it was interesting as I watched on the video. I went like this. And I set it down immediately. I was amazed nobody else put their phone down. Some of them were even talking to the person. I thought, when you are hypnotized, your character comes out. You won't do what's outside of your character. And I thought it was interesting to see those other folks. And then when he said there's some other things going on, you can't see this, and he had a little face dragging past. Well, you see me on the video dragging my cross out of my neck, undoing my tie and my shirt, grabbing my cross and going, chasing that away. And I thought, interesting what comes out. Your character is established and it comes out with the people you're around and in different settings. Oh, I fear that CD or that DVD will show up in some anniversary dinner or something on the big screen. Discipleship. It's saying, I want to be intentional about what I do. And it's establishing your character. And it's establishing it for Christ. Disciples are those transitioning from ministry consumers to ministry contributors, or even ministry providers. Amen? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to his student, Timothy. And this is a second letter. And he's sending it to him. And as a lot of you teachers may know or have experienced, and that's even teachers here in the church setting, as you watch these young people grow, and you send them off, it's like parents. You say, man, they've graduated, they're gone. And Paul was going through this with Timothy, and he said, man, this is my student. Now I've got to turn him loose, and he's got to go out and do the work that I'm doing. Mostly because Paul's in prison. And so Paul writes this second letter to his student Timothy, and he's telling, hurry up, because Paul knows my death is near. In this prison, I won't survive. And he faces a certain death. And we're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And it's a little more than I wanted to read. We're going to read 1 through 7 right now. And he says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And I intentionally read each one slow so we could just think about each one of those and say, are any of those in my life? Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. And as we start looking at disciples and discipleship, we have to know who to avoid and who to watch out for. It doesn't say, don't associate with a sinner. It does not say that. And that's not what it's talking about here. It's saying, watch out for these type of people and turn away from them. Don't associate yourselves with them day in and day out. We always have to be aware of the people we hang out with. Little by little, they'll creep in and those changes will creep in. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we talked months ago about the truth. The truth shall set you free. And this is the truth right here. Verse 9 goes on to tell us that they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all. as theirs also was. They will progress no further. These people that pretend, they can pretend to be godly. They can pretend to say, man, I am holy. But they will progress no further. They're the type to say, God, please rain down in my life day in and day out. And as I mentioned before, as we prayed, they will not be quiet and listen for God to say, man, I'm trying to rain down, but you got this big umbrella up and I can't soak into your soul because you've got a blockade up there. And that umbrella could be sin. It could be pride. It could be all kinds of things. We read on in 2 Timothy in verse 12. Well, let's go back to verse 10. I want to read just a little bit more because I think it obviously all ties together. And it says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. You have followed my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering or patience, my love, my perseverance, my persecutions, my afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord has delivered me. And I'm telling you, whatever you're in today, if you feel I am stuck in this or I'm living in this, whatever you're in today, the Lord can deliver you also. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's why our children's church is so important. Our King's Kids, our Ground Zero. It is so vitally important that you from childhood have known the Holy Scriptures. They have to understand these things. We've got people in grade school breaking out into fights. We have people in grade school, and I'm talking the early years, cussing people out. We have to change that. We have to change that. Being disciples and making disciples. The commission is, go ye therefore into all the world, making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father. We're called to make disciples. Right here, across town, across the state, the country, internationally. Let's turn to 2 Timothy to chapter 4. Just, you may already be on the same page. In chapter 4, verse 1 through 5 says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. And He's telling Timothy, go out and preach the word. And we have to preach the word every day. To our family, to our co-workers, to fellow students, to our teachers, to our leaders, to those above us, those under us. We have to preach the Word of God. And we only do that by knowing and understanding the Word of God. It's a bad thing when we misapply the Word of God. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, thus fulfilling your ministry. There's a lot of examples that I could use for disciples, but I think this one is most applicable in Timothy, where Jesus has made a disciple in Paul. And then Paul goes out and says, here's my student Timothy. Now, Timothy, here is the instruction and direction that I give you as I see my end coming near. He tells us to take up our cross daily. Take up our cross daily through a renewing of our mind daily. Daily we have to pick that cross up and carry it with us. Daily we have to renew our mind. Reprogram it, reprocess it every day from the stuff that we take in. The encounter we have with Jesus Christ cannot just be on Sunday morning. It can't be Sunday and a Wednesday evening. Well, I go twice a week. Well, I really just have devotions, me and God talking. Singing a religious song in your car may not be an encounter with God every day. We have to have an encounter. We have to have a relationship. Matthew 6:33 says, you don't have to turn there, but it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. This basically says the same thing that Timothy is warning about. There are those that will seek their own pleasure and want to hear things that entertain them. Sometimes this may not be the most exciting stuff in the world, but it is the life-changing stuff in the world that will bring about change to each and every one of us, young and old. Paul modeled Jesus saying, do as I do, because I did as Christ did. Their teaching was as much of what they did, or it was as much as they did, it was just like what they said. They said it and they did it. Example, teach, model it. We're going to be doing a baptism here in just a minute. And actually, if you guys want to get ready for that, I think a great example right now, about a year ago, a little over a year ago actually, we had two young people come and enter into ministry. And it was Sebastian, who started on the computer when he was 12, and Austin, who started in the sound when he was 13, or 12 also. They're both 13 now. And what a great example to have Kisha up there working with Sebastian on the computers, because Lord knows I would be of no help up there to him. A Sunday or two ago, I couldn't even figure out how to turn it on. And Rex is up there with Austin, teaching him the sound ministry. And that's what we need to do. I talked last week about our younger and older folks getting together. Old folks, get to know our young people. I said, ooh. Then I said, young people, get to know the older folks. Ooh. Same thing. That's what we have to do. Get to know one another. Understand what makes each other tick. Will you be best friends forever? Maybe not. Maybe so. Example, teach, and model. Be intentional about your discipleship. Regular maintenance. Reading the Word of God. I believe when we do these things and follow God's Word, we not only become disciples, but we make disciples. And we need to continue that process of making disciples. You know, Pastor Jack and Jan are here today. Jack is going to baptize his granddaughter Addison today. And what a beautiful thing. He said, well, that'll be the end of the grandchildren to baptize. He didn't say the end of the grandchildren, just the end of them to baptize. And what a great thing that is. We talked last week, we did a baptism. And I thought we talked about having it on certain days. But the Bible says, when you believe, be baptized. And that is a great step when our young people can be baptized. And I talked about having statistics and old cards. Brian was baptized, I think it was 7 or 8 years ago. Good Lord, it was like 2006 or something. And I thought, man, it seems like 2 years ago. But we've got all that stuff dated. And I happened to pull up his thing on my calendar that says he was baptized. And it was in 06, I believe. thought, really? He was like, two? No, I'm just kidding. But this is what our young people do. When we build and make disciples of Jesus Christ as we close today, that's going to transform the church. And you are the church. We are the church. When we make disciples, when we become disciples and therefore make disciples, we talked a couple weeks ago about another study that said the churches in America are dull and mind-numbing. When we choose to follow Jesus Christ, that's one thing, but that's not the end of that journey. Then the commandment is to love as Jesus loved, and we have to pursue that love of Christ. And I think that's the biggest thing that separates us from non-believers or unbelievers when we don't love people like Christ. And I said, they're a Christian? Really? And then finally, to make disciples. And I think we have to become a disciple to make disciples. The church will be alive and not dead. The church will be loving and not hateful. We'll be a forgiving church body, not a condemning. We'll be truthful, not traditional. We talked about that a few weeks ago. We'll be a church that is free and not in bondage. We'll be accepting and not rejecting of others. We'll be desirable and not just coming here out of duty. We will transform lives and not just modify and adjust lives. We'll be authentic and not hypocritical. We'll be relevant and not irrelevant. And when we study and learn and apply this and share it with others, we will be about people and not about the place. And we will become and be about relationships and not religion. Amen? Let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the example that Paul gave us in sending his letters to Timothy. Father, his example, telling him what to do, giving the example that he has done as Jesus has done. It was not Paul's example, but the example Jesus Christ set. This morning, maybe you're missing that one step. That one step that just says, man, I've accepted Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus Christ. But I'm missing that discipleship aspect. If that's you today as we pray, would you just raise your hand up so that I can pray for you and say, I just want to become a disciple. I want to learn more. I want to be a student of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Father, thank you for the hands going up for those that want to learn more about you, that want to become more like you, that want to set the example. Father, I just ask you to be with them. I ask you as a church body that we lift each other up, that we look for opportunities to minister to one another, that we look for opportunities to teach and learn, whether it's a small group or a Sunday morning class or a Wednesday evening additional class, Lord, that you would create those in our church body, that you would bring teachers and leaders that can lead those or that can at least facilitate those, Lord, as we lead and grow together. And Lord, finally, before we leave today, if there's any that do not know Christ and you want to know more about a relationship with Jesus Christ, would you raise your hand so we don't miss you today also? Is those anyone visiting? Okay, thank you. Father, we ask you to be with them, Lord, to just speak to them and allow them to be quiet in their life, so that they can hear you speak into their life. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.